I want to talk to you about a passage that is one of the most famous passages, probably of the whole Bible. Right up there in popularity with Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16, Psalm 23, and you might not recognize it by book, chapter, and verse, but you'll recognize it when I say, "Judge not, that you be not judged." I think everybody, for the most part, recognizes that passage. Christians and non-Christians alike. And as popular as that verse is, it's sad that it's also very widely misunderstood and misapplied. I'm not going to talk about a topical lesson about judging others. We're not going to be dealing with a whole lot of passages. I'll be touching on some. But this is going to be an exegetical sermon from this passage, looking at what Jesus said in these five verses particularly. And there's no way we can talk about this without first talking about the misinterpretation of this passage. And so that's what we'll do first. And then after that, we're going to look at what Jesus, the point Jesus was trying to make. And I think there's basically two points. The first one considers your attitude. Don't be hypercritical. Be fair toward others and merciful. And the second point is considering if you are in a position, whether or not you are in the position to be correcting someone. And that we need to get our lives right first before we go around trying to help other people get their lives straight. Jesus goes about this and talking first about the improper way, and then he tells us the proper way to go about helping others. Now, before I read the passage, I just want to say that some people, like myself, are very naturally uncomfortable with approaching someone about their sin. It's just a very hard thing to make yourself do because you don't want to come across judgmental and so forth. On the other hand, some people find it very easy to approach people about their sin and their error. And they find it very easy to be very quick and very harsh. Maybe that's you. But there's a middle ground, and Jesus shows us that middle ground here. And so, let's read the passage there in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. He says, and this is quoting from the New American Standard, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye and do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." A lot of good points here in this passage. But first, we do need to talk about how this verse is misinterpreted. Jesus is not here forbidding all judgment. He is not saying that we cannot rebuke brethren who are in sin. He's not saying that. But it's used that way to say, oh, church discipline? No, no. We need to tolerate and we need to love, 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 love. It's also used to say, well, if somebody is teaching or believing false doctrine, that we don't need to correct them. We just need to realize that we all have our misunderstandings and just tolerate and love, love, love. And it's also used to just say, don't criticize in general. You know, if somebody wants to live that way or believe that way, you don't have any right to go and tell them how they need to change. And boy, isn't that the mantra of our age in this postmodernistic world and the idea of tolerance? And so people might say, how dare you criticize me? Or they might even quote this verse, even if they're not a Christian, to say, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. So don't judge me. And they use that as a way of shutting Christians up, and it works sometimes. That is not what this passage means. If this passage meant that, then it would actually be a deterrent to spreading the gospel. Because in order to spread the gospel, the true gospel, I'm not talking about a watered-down version of it. In order to really spread the gospel, we have to make a judgment if somebody's living right or wrong, and we say, no, look, the Bible says live this way, not this way. The Bible says do this and not that. The Bible says believe this and not believe that. We have to make some kind of a judgment, but it doesn't mean that we need to walk around as if we are in charge of everybody else. So Jesus did not mean that we should completely ignore the sins and errors of others. Remember what he said in verse 5. He said, you hypocrite, first do what? Take the log out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He did not say, don't take the speck out of your brother's eye. And the speck, that just means their fault, their flaw. He did not forbid that. But he said, just make sure you do it in the right way. Make sure that you get your sin out of the way first and make sure you have the proper attitude of mercy. And we could look at many other passages. Well, I'll just briefly take a look at three or four verses. In Matthew 18 and verse 5, if your brother sins, go to him in private. Or go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Well, how are you going to show somebody their fault without making some kind of judgment on whether or not they are doing what is right? Luke 17:3, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. How are we going to rebuke somebody without having made some kind of judgment on whether or not that person is living right or not? We have to make some kind of judgment on that person. In 1 Corinthians 5, and this is an incident where the Corinthians were putting up with a heinous sin in their midst. A person was involved with a horrible sin of adultery, and they weren't doing anything about it. They were just tolerating it. And Paul wasn't there, and he says, for I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this as though I were present. And then in verse 12 he says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? They should have done something. He says, I'm not even there. This is not time for all kind of soul searching and all kind of just covering this person with just love and tolerance. This is a time where you need to get the sin out of your midst and rebuke this person. So there is a time and a place when we need to judge. We are told to do that. But we must be very careful about that. You know, Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if anyone among you is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So, yes, we are to go about it in a very, very careful way. John 7 and verse 24 says, do not judge according to outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Jesus says that. And this passage that we're looking at today in Matthew 7, 1 through 5, is teaching us the proper way to go about it. Not with a hypocritical and a hypocritical, or hypercritical and hypocritical attitude. I want to talk about this word, krino. I want you to remember a Greek word today. Krino is the word that is translated into judge. And it means properly to discriminate, but it has a wide variety of meanings. And it's always the context that determines the meaning of any word. And so in Matthew 5 and verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your cloak also. That word for sue is the same word that's used here in Matthew 7. It's the word krino. Titus 3:12, Paul says, I have decided to spend the winter there, talking about Nicopolis. Decided. That's the same Greek word, krino. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, in order that they may be judged or condemned who did not believe the truth. So yes, it has the meaning of condemn, or harsh judgment, or just judgment. But it does not inherently mean harsh judgment. It does not inherently mean the opposite of love. I saw a sign in front of a church building that said, if you judge, you have no time to love. In a sense, that is true. If you use the sense of judge in the sense of harsh judgment. But some people just think that to judge someone necessarily, inherently means the total opposite of love. So you can't judge and love at the same time. You can either judge or you can love. You can't do both. I want to suggest to you, you can do both. And that's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus defines judge not to mean hypercritical and hypocritical judging. We must not take that out of context. Oh, how people like to take verses out of context. Most people who know, judge not that you be not judged, have no idea what verses 2 through 5 say. But they take that one verse, and they make it mean what they want it to mean. We cannot do that with any verse. We cannot take anything out of context. And you all know that. And so, before we move on and talk about what Jesus was talking about, and the points he wanted us to get, I just want to make this point. We are very quick to defend, well, the Bible says we can judge. And if somebody says, judge not that you be not judged, our natural defense is to say, no, that's not what it means. We can judge. And if we're not careful, we don't recognize the danger that comes along with judging. Yes, we can judge. But there is a danger there. And if we're not careful, we don't see the points that Jesus wanted us to get from this passage. All we see is the false teaching that people do on this passage, and that's all we think about. Well, there's some really very beautiful, practical points that Jesus makes. And the first one is about hypercritical judging. That is actually a word. Hypercritical. I just tried to make it match hypocritical. So don't get the two words confused. Hypercritical is overly critical, supercritical, harsh, nitpicky, unfair, unjust, unloving. All of that is kind of combined. I just put it in one word. I might have oversimplified, but I think it sums up the idea. Hypercritical judging. And the question to ask yourself is, do you have the proper attitude when approaching someone about their sin? Jesus says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And the point is that God will judge you in the way you judge others. And we don't want God to be harsh with us. You see, we often have a double standard. We have one standard with God. Oh, we want Him to be merciful. We rely on that. We could never face God without His judgment. I mean, without His mercy. We can never face Him in judgment without His mercy. There, I got the whole thing out. And then we have a totally different standard in our relationship to men. We come across very harsh. We come down very hard. And we have a double standard. Think about the parable. I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but there's a parable in Matthew 18, verses 23 and following. Imagine you are a servant, and you owe your master a lot of money. I don't mean just hundreds or even thousands, but hundreds of thousands of dollars. And your master says, okay, you and your family have to be sold and all your possessions until payment be made. And you say, please, have mercy. Forgive me. I'll pay you back. And so he lets you off the hook and he doesn't sell you into slavery. And not only that, but he forgives the debt. What man would ever do that? But he does. He says, you don't have to pay me back. Well, then you go along about your way and one of your fellow servants owes you a very small amount of money compared to what you owed your master. Ridiculously low amount of money compared to that. And you take him and you start to choke him. And you say, pay me what you owe. And he says, please have mercy. And you say, no, forget it. And you throw him into prison. Well, word comes back to your master. And he's not very happy with you. And he says, I was merciful with you. You should have been merciful too. And he hands you over to the torturers. You see, in that parable, and the thrust of that parable is about forgiveness. But you see in that parable the double standard. One standard with your master, another standard with your fellow servant. That's the double standard that people have. And I hope that you don't have that. I don't think we struggle with this quite as much as some other things. But perhaps you do. This is the difference between heaven and hell. Because if God is harsh and super critical with you, you will not go to heaven. And He will be that way if that is the way you are with other people. We can't go to heaven if God is harsh with us. We can't even go to heaven if God gives us what we deserve. Much less if He is harsh with us. I don't want to face that. I want to face God's mercy. So, of course, the proper attitude is that of mercy and fairness and everything else that goes along with that. Humility and love. And all these things. But this passage is emphasizing mercy and fairness. Consider the parallel passage in Luke 6, 36 and 37. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. And do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Pardon and you will pardon. The whole emphasis there is on mercy. And so we need to be very fair and merciful with others. Do not hold up an impossible, harsh standard on others, leaving no room for error. Don't we do that? And I really think parents have to watch out for this a lot. Because it's really easy to come down on your kids hard. I have a friend who he has fallen away and he knows it. And his parents, from what I understand, although he needs to be reprimanded, they come down really, really hard. And he feels forced to want to come to services and things like that. We ought not do that to our kids. And I only have a 2-year-old, so I don't speak as much from experience. But this principle applies even in everyday things. You know, spouses. Don't we sometimes hold up a really harsh standard with our spouse? We do. And we all need to work on that. You know, you didn't have dinner ready on time. Or the toast is burned. And they might say, well, you left the toothpaste out. And you left your shoes on the floor. Well, what are you doing to each other? You're holding up a really high standard of perfection. Nobody's going to be able to reach that standard. Have some lenience in your judgment with one another. I think this could also be applied when you're on the road, when you're driving. I don't know what it is about being in a car that makes us feel like we can be harsh. It's something about you're in your car, they're in your car, their car. You're separated from one another. You don't have face-to-face contact. I don't know what it is. But for some reason, we can be the nicest, sweetest people. But when we're in a car, we're so mean. And if somebody pulls in front of you, sometimes we just go off. Have you ever had that happen and then you come to realize that's somebody that I go to church with that just pulled out in front of me? Or have you ever stopped to ask yourself, have I ever pulled out in front of somebody? Maybe I've done that too. My point is, everybody makes mistakes. Have some mercy in your judgment. Realize nobody's perfect. And so this applies in everyday things. So we need to have the proper attitude. We also need to have the proper motive. And what is that motive? It's to help people go to heaven. You don't approach somebody about their sin because it makes you look good or it makes you feel good. If you come to somebody and all you are is nitpicky, why are you doing that? Not because you want to help that person, but because you just can't stand that they're doing what they're doing. You can't stand it. That's not the motive to have. If you come to a brother or a sister with a motive of, I want to help you, I want to help you go to heaven, then you're not going to be nitpicky and harsh. You're going to be merciful and kind and loving and patient. But you're going to show them the truth and you're going to tell them what the Bible says without pulling punches. But you do it in a different way. I tell you, what a brother needs and what a sister needs is a brother and a sister. They don't need a boss. They don't need a cop. It's kind of like the difference between a cop and a citizen. The cop enforces the law. That's his job. The citizen might help a fellow citizen not to get in trouble with the law. But the citizen is not the cop. You and I are not the cop. We are not God. We don't need to try to take the place of God. But we just try to help one another so that we can all go to heaven. James 5:19-20. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's our motivation. Think how wonderful that is. To think that by God's mercy and grace, I had the ability to help this person so he won't sin. And so I can help to save his soul. Thank you, God, for letting me have that opportunity to do that. That's the attitude to have. Verses 3 through 5 focus on hypocritical judging. And Jesus corrects that. And the question to ask yourself here is, are you in the position to be correcting someone else? Jesus says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye, you hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I want you to get the mental image of what Jesus is portraying here. We think in pictures. And Jesus is putting a picture before you. One person has a speck. Okay, the Greek word literally means a dry twig or straw. Like when you're mowing your yard and a piece of grass flies into your eye. You can still see, but it's just kind of irritating and makes your eye water. Or, you know, like when you're talking to somebody and they got a little black something just floating around the bottom of their eye and you say, hey, you got a little something in your eye there, buddy. Okay, so one individual's got a speck. The other individual has a log. And everything that I've read from the definition in the Greek lexicon and everything else, all the commentators, this is a big piece of wood. It's not just maybe something that can really fit in your eye, but like a crossbeam used for a house. Jesus is giving a ridiculous image, I think, is what he's portraying. An impossible image of somebody having this grotesque log just coming out of their eye. Now, I may be wrong. Maybe he didn't mean to portray such a ridiculous image. But isn't that effective to think about? We got one person, and he comes up, and he's got this huge thing coming out of his eye, and he says, excuse me, you got a speck in your eye. Wait a minute. What about that big old piece of timber coming from your head? So it's a kind of a humorous image. But think of that. Whenever you approach somebody about their sin and you have your own sin in your life, get that image in your head. Before you can correct a brother, the first thing you got to do is you got to notice that you got the log in your eye. Some people don't even notice. They're going around with a log in their eye and they have no idea of it. So we need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. That is something we should do daily through meditation. Do you meditate? We pray, but do you meditate and think about yourself and how you need to be better? If you really stop to do that for any longer than 10 or 15 minutes, you'll start thinking of things that you never thought of before. So examine yourselves and notice that you do have a log in your eye. And then the next thing you got to do is you got to take the log out of your eye. You know, here again, we have a double standard. Earlier, we talked about a double standard between you got one with God and you got another one with man. Here, you have a double standard. You got one with yourself and you got another one with everybody else. Isn't it human nature to go really easy on yourself and just have all kind of lenience, but to be really harsh on other people? And we make all kind of excuses for ourselves. Well, this is the reason and that's the reason why. Get away with that. Oh, wait a minute. You need to apply the same rule to yourself that you do to other people. Take the log out of your eye. Some people are really good at admitting, I've got a log in my eye. I've got an error. I've got a fault in my life. But they don't take it out. And I think that might be something that we all could apply to ourselves. Because I think as a general rule, we're all really good at admitting that we've got sin in our lives. None of us would just say, oh, I'm not, no, I don't sin. We know we sin daily. So don't just admit, yeah, I've got sin. Too bad. Well, do something about it. What good is it going to do to go to a brother and say, excuse me, I know you've got this sin in your life and I've got the same sin, but let me tell you how you can correct your sin. What good is that going to do? Get rid of your own sin first. Then you may approach your brother in a spirit of love and patience and gentleness. And if your concern for your brother arises from reverence for God's Word and of respect for God's Word and out of a desire to please Him in every way, then you must first be concerned about what you are doing that is contrary to God's Word. You know, it's very natural that we pay a lot more attention to others than we do ourselves. One man wrote, "The nature of all men is so formed that they see and discriminate in the affairs of others much better than in their own." It's kind of like a psychologist who tells people how to overcome depression who is in a deep depression themselves and can't get out of it. Or maybe a marriage counselor who tells people how to be happy and have a great marriage and is living in adultery and going through a divorce themselves. Some people are really good at giving other people advice, but not very good at taking the advice, their own advice. Do not correct someone else when you are doing something as bad or worse. One person has a speck, you have a log. Yours is even worse than theirs. How dare you go and try to correct their speck? Romans 2:1-3, "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" We go to someone and we say, "You've got a really bad attitude. I don't appreciate your attitude." And then we turn around and we have a bad attitude towards somebody. Or we say to somebody, "You know, I really don't appreciate the language you're using. I don't approve of that. And then we go and we use hateful language or profane language. Or we watch some TV show with filthy language on it and we don't turn it off. That's hypocritical. Or you go to somebody and you say, I'm really concerned about the way you dress. You really present your body in a very lascivious way. I think you should work on that. And then we go and we watch something filthy on TV or view pornography. That is hypocritical. So make sure that you are not hypocritical in judging others. And this, again, applies in everyday things. With children. And this keeps coming back to my mind. You know, aren't we very harsh sometimes with our children? You need to use good manners. Say please and thank you. And then we turn around and are very rude to our spouse. Or this happened, this is a real life incident. Today, Ty, well, I had just been talking to Holly about, you know, we really need to come down on Ty a little bit harder because he's whining too much. And we need to nip it in the bud. And right after I said that, he said, I'm hungry. And he kind of says it in this kind of way. You know, this kind of whiny way. And I turned around and I was about to get pretty harsh with him. And Holly said, Adam, he's two. And then I got to thinking, I thought about this sermon. And then I told Holly, I said, and he got that from me. Because that's what I say all the time. I go around and say, I'm hungry. Well, he hears me and he copies me. How am I going to come down hard on him when he's just learning from his father? So sometimes we're very harsh with our children. Sometimes teachers are very harsh to their students. I teach martial arts. And if I'm not careful, I'll have a tendency to come down really hard on my students and their behavior. We all have to watch out for this and be very careful. Only after you get your life right will you be able to see clearly to help your brother. Jesus says in verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You can't see very clearly when you got a piece of timber sticking out of your eye. Once you get that thing out, you might be able to see a little bit more clearly and think a little bit more clearly and have a better attitude towards your brother. So you can help him. And like we said earlier, that's the whole point. Romans 15:4 says, and concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourself are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. We have to be able to admonish one another. The only way we do that is we're full of goodness and knowledge. Well, a lot more could be said on this topic of judging others. But isn't Jesus a masterful teacher? And he has some wonderful things for us to consider. I want to make a point here that this passage assumes Jesus is talking to people whom he assumes are trying to help others go to heaven, are approaching people about their sin. And he's just telling you the right way to go about it. He's not saying don't approach somebody about their error. He's saying the exact opposite of what people want to make this passage say. He's assuming that you are, and he's giving you proper directions. And I'll tell you what I think our biggest problem is. I don't think our biggest problem is that we come down harsh on people. Though maybe in day-to-day things that is a problem. But in terms of people's sin, I don't think that's as much an issue with us. I think our problem is we don't judge at all. We don't say anything. We ignore people's flaws. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to come down too harsh. We don't want to be judgmental. And we don't want people to be offended by what we say. So we just sit back and, well, they can do what they do. Well, that's not how we should react. We should approach people about their sin and not be afraid to do that. Because Jesus teaches us the right way to go about that. If you completely ignore people's sins, you're not going to help anybody go to heaven. You cannot just completely ignore people's sins. Just make sure that when you approach them, you have an attitude of mercy and fairness, and you are in a position yourself to be correcting people.